Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Please stand as we read God's word this morning. It comes from Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him all as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed in you." So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer.
Well, let's pray together to the Lord this morning. Lord, as we come to you before we begin to preach and hear your word, Father, there are so many things that we could be thankful for this morning, that we are thankful for. And Lord, as we know, to list them out would take so long, Father, but we just want to focus just on a few this morning as we think about being thankful in you, Father, the fact that you are God, and we thank you for that, the fact that you love being God, that you are on your throne, sovereignly ruling over this universe, Lord, and you are thrilled to do it. Father, there's not a molecule, a dust mite, that is outside the will of God and the reign of God. And so we thank you for your control over the universe, your good, wise, and just, and loving control over the universe. Father, we thank you, of course, for the glorious provision you give us in Jesus Christ. Father, we look at Christ and we see that the gospel stretches all the way back to the Garden of Eden, that it's reiterated to Abraham and through Abraham, and then is fulfilled in Christ. And so this morning we thank you for the gospel, and we do pray, Father, that every heart in here would rejoice in the gospel, that if there's anyone that is apart from Christ, they've not received the gospel yet, they have not turned from their sin and trusted Christ, we pray that this morning, through the hearing of your word, the Holy Spirit would touch their heart and they would come to Christ and be saved today. We thank you. We pray you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you think back to your childhood, how many of you all wanted to be just like your dad when you grew up? Amen, right? I mean, every one of us in some form or fashion, even if you had a dad that was maybe a hard dad, there was something good in him, I'm sure, that you said, "I want to be like that. I want to be like that." Man, I wanted to be like my dad. I mean, my dad, growing up, I mean, he was tan and handsome with those dark features. He still has those dark features, although he started to get some pepper in his mustache and salt and pepper, you know, throughout his hair. He had an incredible athletic build, and I remember just thinking and looking at him and saying, "Man, I want to look like that when I grow up." He was muscular and fit. I used to love to watch him do one-handed pull-ups and one-handed push-ups and just marvel, how in the world did he do it? Because I couldn't even do one on my knees with both hands, you know, girl push-ups, you know, and here's my dad doing one-handed pull-ups and push-ups. He was skilled in mechanics. He was skilled in carpentry. He was skilled in glasswork, and he was a tough guy. He was a man's man. He was a man's man and an extremely hard worker, just like many of your dads. Yet he was gentle, yet he was generous, yet he was loving. My dad, in my eyes as a child, was heroic, just like your dad, I'm sure, in your eyes, was heroic. I wanted to be like my dad, and I still admire those characteristics that I just mentioned about him. I still admire those to this day. Now, in our text this morning, Paul is appealing to this same sort of thinking as he continues to argue that justification is by faith alone. He's basically saying to the Galatians, don't you want to be like your daddy? Don't you want to be like your daddy? And then he holds up Abraham as their father, as their daddy. Now, we all know the song, right? We all know the song from, the kids' choir did it a few weeks ago. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. It was hard for me. It took everything I could do to not jump up and get my arms going, my feet going when the kids are singing that. I love that song. But the song is so much fun that we often forget about the central truth, the central biblical truth that's being sung about there. To be honest, we forget the truth. We are children of Abraham through faith. We are children of Abraham. And that, dear ones, is a glorious truth that you and I often overlook. And I tried to rack my brain. Why is it that we often overlook the fact that we are sons of Abraham? I came up with three reasons. As I thought about it, we're often ignorant. Number one, we're often ignorant of the inheritance that comes from Abraham. And so it doesn't really excite us as it should. We're not really sure exactly what it is we get with Abraham. And so it falls flat a little bit when we hear that we are sons of Abraham. The second reason often is that we have a hard time seeing how 21st century Gentiles can be called a son of the Jewish man, Abraham. We have trouble with that sometimes. And so again, it falls a little flat on us. And then thirdly, it's this, as I think about it and try to put things together, many of us in our theology have been taught by well-meaning Christian men, and I want to emphasize that, well-meaning Christian men, such as Darby and Schofield and Ryrie, that there is a discontinuity between Israel and the church, right? That Israel has nothing to do with the church, and the church has nothing to do with Israel. And this sort of teaching leads people to say, and I believe wrongly, in my humble opinion, I believe wrongly, to say that God has two distinct peoples that he is trying to save, that he is saving, namely Israel and the church. I believe that would be a wrong thing to say according to the scripture. But here, Paul in Galatians speaking, he's speaking to a Gentile majority church, isn't he? A Gentile majority church. He tells them that Abraham is their father. And much like Paul, guess what? I'm speaking to a majority Gentile church. I don't know, maybe there's someone here who is a Jewish by heritage. But if there is, they're in the minority. We have a Gentile majority church, and he tells them that Abraham is their father, and what a wonderful father he is. And so this morning, the big idea that I pray we would take home and grasp this morning is that we would rejoice in the heritage of Abraham. Rejoice in the heritage of Abraham. And we're going to look at three reasons this morning. Three reasons to rejoice in Abraham. So here we go. Let's get into it this morning. Number one, the first reason to rejoice is that Abraham is our example. As you look at our text this morning, Abraham is first our example. Now, if you'll remember from last week, what was Paul doing in the first five verses of chapter 3? He was building a case, an experiential case for justification by faith alone. He said, you've seen Jesus crucified. You've felt the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you've witness the manifest power of God working in your midst. Paul says that all three of these experiences are evidence that justification is by faith and not by works. Now remember, what is justification? Because I'm going to use that word a lot today. I want to make sure everyone has a solid understanding of it. Justification means this. It's being counted as righteous in the sight of God. In other words, it's being deemed innocent of sin. That's what it means to be justified, to be deemed innocent of sin. And so Paul is relentless here. He's given these three experiential evidences that justification is by faith, not by works, but he's relentless. He's not satisfied with arguing from experience alone, so he turns to the Old Testament. He turns to the Bible for an example. And who does he turn to? He turns to Abraham. He turns to Abraham. Now, if I were a betting man, I would bet that the Judaizers that Paul is speaking against here in Galatians had held up Abraham as an example as well. Right? I mean, so he's not just pulling Abraham from out of the context, I'm sure that Abraham had been a point of discussion and debate between the Judaizers and Paul and the churches there in Galatia. Now, since they were arguing, remember, the Galatians were arguing that circumcision is necessary for salvation, right? Since they were arguing that circumcision was necessary for a person to be right with God, who better to turn to for them than Abraham? Because it was through Abraham that God first instituted circumcision. Do you guys remember that? You guys remember in Genesis 17, verses 9 through 11? You'll see it on your screen, or you can flip there with me if you'd like, but just hold your finger there in Galatians 3. Genesis 17, 9 through 11. If you'll remember, circumcision is introduced here by God with Abraham. Here's what it says. God said further to Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout the generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you." I'm sure that every chance the Judaizers got, they would turn to Genesis 17 and see right there, boys, see, circumcision is necessary. If you want to be like Abraham, you must be circumcised. And so what does Paul do? What does Paul do? He doesn't ignore Abraham and pretend like they're right. What he does is he holds up Abraham too. He says, "I've got Abraham too in my argument here," but he points to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. And naturally, as you understand, Genesis 15 comes before Genesis 17, doesn't it? Both in the Bible and in time. So look at Galatians 3:6. Here's what Paul is arguing here. Paul argues this. Verse 6, "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, this verse is a quote from Genesis 15:6. Genesis 15:6, which says this, "Then he," that's Abraham he's speaking about, "then Abraham believed in the Lord, and he," which is God, "and God reckoned to Abraham as righteousness." What's Paul trying to get at here? What's his argument? It's this. He's saying that Abraham was righteous before he was circumcised. His righteousness came apart, separate from circumcision. And to be honest, it was a long time before he was circumcised. I mean, most scholars would estimate that there's over 10 years between Genesis 15:6 and Genesis 17:11. So long before Abraham removed his foreskin as a covenant sign to God, he had already been redeemed. He had already been deemed righteous by God simply because he believed God. He had faith in God. Now, Paul makes the same point in Romans 4. In Romans 4, I want you to see this. He's even more explicit in this passage. Romans 4, 7 through 11. I don't want us to think that this is just something that's a solitary example here. I mean, it's all throughout Paul's writing. Romans 4, 7 through 12. Look what it says. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin in the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say," and here look where he quotes, "faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to him, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Now, I know that's a lot to take in there, but Paul is very explicit. Faith made Abraham righteous. Faith made Abraham righteous. So let's flash forward. Let's flash forward from the first century book of Galatians to the 21st century Alexandria, right here, West Main Baptist Church, right now. What is Paul saying to you and to me? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Abraham, church, is your example. Abraham is your example. Just as faith alone brought him righteousness, so it is with you and with me. Faith alone is what makes us righteous. Dear one, listen to me. There is nothing that you can do outwardly. Nothing that you can do outwardly to make you more righteous before God. Circumcision didn't make Abraham any more righteous. In the same way, then, baptism will not increase your righteousness. Feeding the hungry will not increase your righteousness. Sharing the gospel will not increase your righteousness. Reading your Bible will not increase your righteousness. We could go on and on. We could go on and on. We don't do these things to become more righteous, do we? The Bible says it's the other way around. It goes the other way. We get baptized, we feed the hungry, we share the gospel, we read our Bible precisely because we are righteous. Our righteousness leads to those deeds, not the other way around. Those deeds do not lead to our righteousness. Our righteousness, complete, 100% deemed innocent before God's sight, comes only through faith, not as a result of works. And so when we turn from our sins and turn to Christ in faith, we become 100% righteous. 100%. And the works follow as the fruit, right? I mean, that's what James talked about, right? I want to show you my faith by my works. The works is proof that I have been made righteous in God. And that's what we see in Abraham. He is our example that the righteous are made that way through faith. Through faith. So the first reason to rejoice in the heritage of Abraham is that Abraham is our example. But there's more. Let's see what else Paul says here this morning. We should also rejoice in Abraham because, number two, Abraham's our father. Abraham is our father. Now, let me just say that what I'm about to say is something that it's hit me hard. It's hit me hard over the past year or so. And it's so incredibly clear to me, and I pray it will become increasingly clear to you. Maybe it already is. It's this DNA. DNA plays no part in determining whose God's people is. DNA plays no part in determining who God's people is. You cannot look at a person's nationality or family tree and determine if they are part of God's people. Now, many today would argue that Jews, by the very fact that they are Jews, of their ethnicity, are part of God's people, but there's no Bible that I can see for that. We have to read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, right? Amen? The Old Testament must be read in light of the New Testament, and the New Testament says that ethnicity means nothing, and here's why, because Christ means everything. Ethnicity is no count. Christ is of all account, right? He means everything in terms of the kingdom of God, in terms of determining who is the people of God. I want you to recall with me the conversation with the Pharisees that Jesus had in John 8, 38 through 41. Here's what Jesus says to the Pharisees and what they say back to him. Here's what he says, John 8, 38 through 41. I speak the things, and this is Jesus, I speak the things which I have seen my Father, I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham's our father. And look what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father, namely Satan." And here's what Jesus is saying. He's telling these Jews, these Pharisees, "I know your bloodline is Jewish. I know that that's in your blood. You are a Jew in your DNA. You are physically Israel. But the internal part of you, the internal reality of your heart, is not Israel. Your heart is the proof that you are not a spiritual descendant of Abraham. Your heart declares you are not a son of Abraham. You're not doing the deeds of your father Abraham, who looked forward to Jesus' day," Jesus is saying. "Rather, you're doing the deeds of your father Satan, who rejected me." And so Jesus is clearly saying that a genetic connection with Abraham doesn't mean that a person has a spiritual connection with Abraham. So the question is this: who has Abraham as their father? In other words, who are the children of Abraham? And what does Paul say? Look at the seventh chapter. Let's turn back to our text here. I'm sorry, the third chapter, verse 7, Galatians 3, 7. Paul is clear, it's plain. "Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham." Now, that's just the straightforward conclusion of verse 6. 7 comes on the tail of verse 6. If Abraham was made righteous by faith alone, then his children will be the ones who are made righteous in the same way. The same way. And that goes for every person from creation to Christ's return. Every person, man, woman, and child, from creation to Christ's return. Faith is what makes you a child of Abraham. Now, with that said, I, as a Gentile who believes on Jesus, can lay more claim to Abraham and am more a Jew than even an Israeli who has rejected Jesus. And you say, "What? Wait, hold, wait." That's right. I, as a Gentile who believes on Jesus, can lay more claim to Abraham and am more a Jew than even an Israeli who has rejected Jesus. And you say, "Ben, where do you get that from the scripture?" Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. Look at what it says. Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. "For he," that's talking about a man is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God." Paul is saying, once again, faith is the determining factor of whether or not you are a child of Abraham. And I would argue, church, that this truth was just as true in the day of King David as it is 21st century Alexandria. You see, God has always, and let me reiterate this, God has always had a single people that he is saving. Yes, there are at least two ethnicities. At least two ethnicities. They are Jews and there are Gentiles. But there's only one saved people of God, those from the garden forward to the day when Christ returns by faith. Those who came to God in faith. And so for this reason, both a believing Jew and a believing Gentile can call Abraham their father. But an unbelieving Jew cannot call Abraham their father. And an unbelieving Gentile especially cannot call Abraham their father. So may you rejoice this morning, church. May you rejoice in Abraham, your father in the faith. And finally this morning, we have a reason to rejoice. We've already seen two. We have reason to rejoice in the heritage of Abraham because he's our example and he is our father. And so finally this morning, we should rejoice in Abraham, because through Abraham we are blessed. That's what it says right here. Through Abraham, we, Gentiles, 21st century Alexandria, West Main Baptist Church is blessed. Now we got to keep in mind, what is blessing? We throw that word around a lot. Blessing gets watered down. What is blessing? Blessing is the favor of God on your life. That's what blessing is. Blessing is the favor of God on your life. So let's look at our text again, Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Now please take a special note here. And if we can grasp this, I think this will help us in our Bible study tremendously. A few moments ago, I said that an important interpretive key for your Bible is that the Old Testament must be interpreted in light of the New Testament, okay? So, we have a perfect example right here, a perfect example of what I'm talking about here. We have to read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, and that's exactly what Paul does right here. Paul, in the New Testament, interprets the Old Testament passage of Genesis 12:3. That's what he's quoting there. That's what he's quoting when he says, in you, all the nations will be blessed in you. He's quoting Genesis 12:3. He interprets that passage and says that God is preaching the gospel when he promises Abraham that through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Paul says in Genesis 12:3 is the gospel. Now we think that the gospel is a New Testament concept, but Paul says that's not the case. The Old Testament, when it's rightly understood in light of the New Testament, we see the gospel all over the place. All over the place, and particularly in Genesis 12:3. And so what exactly was being preached right there in Genesis 12:3? Here's what was being preached. Every person, and this is the message we got to take to the world. Take it to the world. When we go knock on doors over this coming year, this is the message we're taking with us. Every person, whether Jew or Gentile, can be saved from the wrath of God against sin if they will turn from their sin and trust in God and trust in Christ, if they'll come to God in faith. That's the message that is preached in Genesis 12:3. That's the message we'll take with us to the streets. Now listen, please don't understand. Please don't understand Galatians 3:8 to teach that Jews are not saved by faith. That's not what he's saying there. Right? He just focuses on the Gentiles, doesn't he? In Galatians 3:8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. He's not saying that the Jews are not saved by faith as well. Right? He's just focusing. Of course Jews are saved by faith alone. Of course they are. Paul here is emphasizing the extraordinary news that Gentiles get justified too. Don't you realize that Israel didn't understand that? They didn't get that. When it said that he would be a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham, all they could see is one nation, Israel. But he says, God says, you're going to be a father of many nations. And Paul says, that's the blessing. The gospel is the blessing of Abraham here. Jews and Gentiles alike can be made righteous before God through faith. So what is the blessing of Abraham? I've already given it away. What is the blessing of Abraham? Paul says that it's the gospel. It's the gospel, which is the offer of justification and salvation by grace. You see, grace, church, is what makes the gospel good news. There's no good news in the law. There's no good news in works. The law, my friend, is bad news. It's bad news. But grace through the gospel is good news. And so I want to share the gospel with you. I want to just get it in our heads. And maybe this morning you need to hear the gospel. Maybe this morning you have never turned from your sins and trusted Christ. I want you to hear the gospel. And I pray you will believe it. I pray you will receive it and trust Christ this morning. Here is the gospel. It's this. Every man, woman, and child is a sinner separated from God. Every man, woman, and child is a sinner separated from God. This is demonstrated through the Ten Commandments and the plain teaching of Scripture. You just run through the commandments, and we've done this before, and you'll find that you have broken every commandment. Every one of them. You got to keep in mind, of course, that Jesus said in Matthew 5, 21 and 22, that to even be angry with your brother is to be guilty of murder, right? And maybe you were saying, well, I've never murdered anyone. Have you been angry with your brother? If you have, or your sister, then Jesus is saying you are guilty of trespassing the law against murder if you have been even angry with your brother. And we also have to keep in mind that Matthew 5, 27 and 28, Jesus says that to even look upon a man or a woman with lust is to be guilty of adultery. And so you might have been saying, well, I have never committed adultery. Well, Jesus says, have you looked upon a man or a woman with lust? Then you're guilty of transgressing even that law. And so I can undoubtedly say in my own life, I have broken every commandment of God. And so it's demonstrated to me through the Ten Commandments, I am a sinner. Dear one, I've broken every law. Dear one, you have broken every law. You go on in the New Testament, and the New Testament says, even if you've kept 9 of them and broken one, you've broken all 10, the Bible says. And so you and I have broken every commandment in big and small ways. Therefore, Scripture is plain in Romans 6:23 that our sin has earned us death. Our sin has earned us death, both physically and spiritually. Physically, your body will die. And the reason that your body dies is because sin is in the world. But also spiritually, we've earned death spiritually. You will be eternally separated from God in the lake of fire, which is hell, which is the second death, because of your sin. Our sin has condemned us, and that is the bad news. You cannot understand the good news unless you first understand the bad news. And so here's the good news. Now that we've got the bad news out of the way, here's the good news. God has made a way. God has provided a way for you to be forgiven of your sin and to be counted as righteous through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. He's made a way. Jesus lived a sinless life that you and I cannot live. He died the death at the cross that you and I deserve. And the Father resurrected him 3 days after he was dead and buried to prove that the work of Jesus was acceptable. Therefore, listen to me closely. Every man, every woman, every child who will turn from their sin and turn to Jesus in faith, turn to Jesus in faith, will be forgiven of their sin and will have life everlasting instead of death everlasting. And so as we think about this, through Abraham, you and I are blessed. I pray you would hear the gospel. I pray you would receive the gospel. If you have received the gospel, may you rejoice in the gospel. May you turn and believe. May you believe on Jesus today and become a blessed child of Abraham through the gospel. So, in closing this morning, as you can see, church, there is great reason to rejoice in the heritage of Abraham. Abraham is our example. Abraham is our father. And Abraham is our channel of blessing. So, may you be a child of Abraham and rejoice in his heritage. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you this morning. May you be a child of Abraham and rejoice in his heritage.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.